Amen, and thanks for coming today. It's been a wonderful service. Billy has kind of said it all. Actually, so today we are in the second week of our series on the book Creed by Adam Hamilton, or the Apostles' Creed, using this book. We're in chapter 2, which is the verses on Jesus. And something kind of interesting about the Apostles' Creed is that there are 17 lines in the Apostles' Creed, and 9 of them are dedicated to who Jesus is and what we believe about Jesus. So Jesus is over half of the Apostles' Creed, which I thought was interesting going into getting ready for today's sermon. And in the book, in chapter 2, Adam kind of starts off the way that Billy did in the video, laying out the historical evidence for Jesus' existence and resurrection, that he was an actual person, that he's in the history books outside of Christianity or the Bible, to kind of lay the groundwork that Jesus was legit, right? I mean, he was here, and no one really kind of disputes that. And then what he does, he kind of breaks down the different lines of the Apostles' Creed dealing with Jesus and goes in depth with them. So what I would like for us to do together is to recite the Apostles' Creed. But as we do that, I would like for you to pay special attention to those verses that deal specifically with Jesus. So please recite this with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And so, kind of like going back to college days writing papers, I kind of looked at the part of Jesus in the Apostles' Creed and kind of made like an outline of it, right? So you kind of make an outline of what it is that we believe about Jesus. It goes like this. It starts off, the very first sentences, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. So the very first sentence is who Jesus is, and it is our Lord, right? What place does Jesus have in our life? Right out the gate, Lord. And then we kind of backtrack a little bit and kind of build up why it is Jesus is Lord. So right after that, we jump right into the Christmas story. Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And then we jump all the way to Easter. We skip his whole life. We jump all the way to Easter. And then we go, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. And then we talk about what he's up to now. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And then we kind of end it talking about Jesus and what's coming next for Jesus. And it's this, from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And so that's the outline, and that's a lot. And so here's the summary of it. This is what the Apostles' Creed and what Adam Hamilton tells us in the book is that when it comes to Jesus, we believe that he is our Lord and Savior. If you want to boil it all down, that's what it comes to. He is our Lord and Savior. Why is he our Lord? Well, we had Easter just a few weeks ago. We spent a whole Lent series talking about how Jesus suffered and died and rose again for us to pay for our sins. That's why he's Savior. He's taken the sins of the world onto himself, and therefore the sins are not a part of us anymore. He paid for those. Therefore, he has saved us from the punishment of our sins, carrying our own sins, and has cleared us in the eyes of God. That's why he's Savior. Why is he Lord? Why is he Lord? Because he's the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. It is God coming to rescue us. I want to share with you John 1:1-4, speaking about Jesus. And every time you hear the word, we're talking about Jesus. And when you hear this, Jesus can be nothing other than Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Now, I'm going to read that again, but I'm going to put in the word Jesus where it belongs. And I want you to hear why Jesus deserves to be Lord. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Through Jesus, all things were made. Without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. In Jesus was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. That's why he's Lord. He is all of that. Why do we need a Savior? Because we sinned. Right? We've broken that relationship. We needed a Savior. Why do we need a Lord? Because we continue to sin. Here's the thing about becoming a Christian. Even though our sins are forgiven in the eyes of God, we are holy and blameless because Jesus has taken our sin. The way it plays out in our life is that we don't automatically become perfect. And you know this, and I know this, because we've all probably sinned 3 times today already. Right? So we know that we have been forgiven of our sins, but yet we still keep not figuring it out, and we continue to sin. We need a Lord because there's a war inside of us between good and evil. You see, Jesus doesn't save us and then abandon us. That would be horrible, right? So I want to demonstrate for you this idea of the good and bad that is before us. And it's like this. Oh. I almost got the stage messed up. All right. So, I like Sprite. It's good. And I like Starbucks Frappuccinos, too. That's good, too. You see, I like both these things. Like, I love God and all things spiritual. And I kind of love the world and things that bring me pleasure that maybe shouldn't. And I think people are like that. We have this war. So on one hand, we say, I'm going to pray for people. But I'm a gossip about people. I'm going to serve my neighbors. But I'm going to judge them while I do it. They don't go good together. I'm going to read God's word. I'm going to binge on some Netflix. I'm going to be sexually faithful. Naked women on the internet. I'm going to live my life to please God. Actually, I'm going to please my friends, my bosses, my teachers, my coaches, practically everyone else but God. Finally, I'm going to let Jesus be the Lord of my life. But in reality, most of the time, I'm the Lord of my life. So we have this back and forth, right? And what happens is this pure life that God has for us gets tainted because we keep sipping out of the wrong thing. So it kind of looks something like this. You go. Right? So then this is the life. It was only one sip. We had the rest. It's not like we're killing people, right? I mean, it's just a little bit. But then our life kind of looks like this. And then this is the life that we're living, and we wonder why we're not satisfied. Or why it doesn't go right. And so we I really meant to drink more of that in a demonstration. Excuse me. But that's not good. And so sometimes we go through life and we wonder why we just don't feel good about it. We don't know why it is we aren't experiencing all the joy and all the presence of God that we can. And it is because we get it flipped when it comes to who we live our life for. You see, and these things that I just shared with you are very personal, right? These are things that we do. But there's a reason for that. And it's this, is that Jesus came to be our personal Lord and Savior. He wants to be your personal Lord. He wants to have a relationship with you. He loves you that much. And see, here's why Jesus deserves to be Lord. Because he's God. And he came for us to rescue us and to lead us. He's the good shepherd, right, that wants to bring us back into the fold. We can trust him as Lord because he is for us. He wants the best for us. He will not harm us or hurt us. He wants us to be in a place of joy. And it is personal. And that's why I chose the story of Jesus and Lazarus as we wrestle with this idea of Jesus as Lord and Savior, because it's important that he's Lord and Savior on the good days, on the medium days, and even in the bad days. Like when you grant someone the authority of Lord in your life, then you can't pick and choose when they have that authority. And real quick, the background is that Jesus and Mary and Martha and Lazarus were friends. They have hung out. They spent time together. Jesus loved Lazarus, and they sent word to Jesus, hey, Jesus, Lazarus is very sick. He's about to die. You need to come. We know that you can save him. And Jesus not only did not come in time that Lazarus died, but it was 4 days later when he rolls in the town. Now, just imagine this, that you have a family friend who created the a cure for something, for a disease, right? And so somebody in your family, it's a close friend, somebody in your family gets that disease and they get very sick and they're going to die soon unless they get this cure that your friend has, close family friend. And so you send word, hey, can you please come and with your antidote to kind of heal, because he's going to die or she's going to die. And then they don't. And then they don't get there in time several days later and they have the nerve to show up at the funeral. And you're in your suit, you're in your pretty dress, your black dress, and you're all upset, and they walk in. See, that's where I totally feel what Mary and Martha were, because the very first things they said is, Jesus, if you would have been here, Lazarus would be alive. My brother would be alive. And his response to them were, do you believe? Do you believe in me? In this moment, in the hurt, in the sorrow, do you believe in me now? Not weeks ago when we were hanging out having dinner, but now, do you believe in me? So here's my question to you. Have you ever been there in life where your question to God was, where were you? How in the world could you let this happen? This makes no sense to me. Why have you abandoned me? Because you felt abandoned. And here's what Jesus says to them. Where have you laid his body? Where is he? Take me to him. And they said, come, we'll take you to where we laid him. It was as Jesus is saying, take me to the place where you lost hope. Take me to the place where you lost faith. Where you doubted, where your anger is at me, because I'm going to meet you there. And I'm going to be there in the midst of that. I've been there. I absolutely have been there. Because you see, being a Christian does not equal a perfect life. I would love to tell you that since I've become a Christian, I have gone from victory to victory, that I have one success after another, that my moral compass has always gone straight and narrow. I would love to tell you that, but I can't. The biggest pains that I have experienced has been since I've been a Christian. So let me ask you this question. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You see, people generally fall into three kind of very broad categories. One, there is none who have never put their faith in Jesus. They are not Christian. They have maybe gone to church, maybe not gone to church. They could even be atheist or another religion, but they have never believed in Jesus. If you would say, are you a Christian? They would say, nah, right? Then you have those who have said yes to Jesus. They are Christian. They could be lifelong Christians, very active members of church, but life has thrown something at them, or things get kind of turned up right now. If you ask them, are you as close to God as you want to be? Is Jesus the Lord of your life right now? They'll say, oh, I believe in him. He's my Savior, but right now I'm kind of struggling with my faith. And then there are those who are in that sweet spot, right? They're where God wants them to be, doing what God wants them to be doing. They kind of feel God, and so they're in this place of peace, right? This place of understanding of what God has for them to do in the world. And most Christians, I think, bounce back and forth between these two, right? And probably don't stay in one very long for bouncing back and forth. Oh, things are really good right now. I'm with you, God. This is awesome. And then something happens. You go like, oh, man, I'm trying to handle things in my own strength. I'm kind of messing up here. I'm kind of doing my own thing. Oh, but you know what? This is it. I'm back. I'm full force, right? One of those three places. My guess is each of you are in one of these places. It seems to me that if Jesus, here's the beautiful thing that the Apostles' Creed says. It says this, that he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Listen, so here's what we know about Jesus. He lived for us, he dies for us, and he reigns for us. He's actively in a relationship with us. He is reigning, and it seems to me that it would be a shame not to have an opportunity for us to make a decision or a commitment to respond to that type of overwhelming love that the God that created everything, is the light of the world, loves us enough to have a personal relationship, and maybe you've been feeling that tug at your heart that, you know what, I do believe that God has a plan for me and loves me and wants me. Or maybe you have been, you know what, I've been struggling recently with my faith. I'm not where I want to be, but you know what? I want to put Jesus back at the top of my life. Or you could celebrate right now and say, you know what? I am good, but it's all because of God, and I'm right where God wants me to be. Praise God. So what we're going to do is we're going to end this sermon time with a prayer. And the prayer is going to be for each of those situations. And so if you have never committed your life to Christ and you want to respond to that great, awesome news, in a minute, what I'm going to ask you to do, and it's not going to be an altar call, we're going to ask people to come down to the front, but I do believe that we are called to make a public profession of faith. And if you can't say in this room, surrounded by people who love you and God's house, that yes, I want to be part of God's family, you'll never be able to do it outside these walls, right? But they're also going to say, hey, if you have not had Jesus recently where you want Jesus in your life, I'm going to give you an opportunity to stand up too so that you can kind of recommit and re-put Jesus as Lord of your life. And then we're going to have a prayer for those two groups of people, and then in the prayer, praising God for those of us who are in that sweet spot. Now, this is not a long, drawn-out thing. It's not an emotional response. It is if it's been filling in your heart. And so it's going to go like this. I'm going to say, if right now you want to make a commitment to Jesus, and you haven't done that before, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And then I'm going to go right into, if you want to recommit your life and put Jesus as Lord, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And then we're going to go into the prayer. And then after we pray, the band is going to come up and we're going to sing this beautiful song, the beautiful name of Jesus. And while we sing that song, Pastor Brenda is going to be standing over here if you want more, if you want prayer. And then after the song, I'll be joining her down. And so, has God been speaking to you this morning? So if you want to make a first-time public commitment to Jesus because you feel Jesus calling us, I want you to stand up right now. If you want to recommit, or you say, I want to put Jesus back as Lord of my life, and that's who you are right now, I want you to stand up right now. If you are in that sweet spot where God is using you right now and you feel God's presence, I want you to stand up right now. Let us pray. God, for those who want to put you as Lord of their life, the truth is that we have all sinned, we have all fallen short, and we all need a Savior. And because of your life, death, and resurrection, and the fact that you reign for us, we know that our sins have been forgiven, and that we have been restored in you. And by placing our faith in you, we have right standing with you, and we want you to be Lord of our life. And so for those who are making the first-time commitment and those who are recommitting, we thank you for the fact that you have met them there, here, and that you are going to lead them and guide them, and they can fully trust and depend on you. And God, and those who are in that sweet spot right now, we just pray thanksgiving, and we're just so awesomely excited about that, and we pray that they just stay in that moment and that you can use them for as long as humanly possible in that sweet spot. God, for those who still aren't sure yet, we pray that you continue to present yourself to them, to open their hearts and minds so that they do respond to you. We thank you for how awesome you are, for being our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.